This podcast is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network, and it's also proud to be from Texas. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
Oh boy, you are pilgrims in an unholy land.
Don't say that! Never say that! Goonies never say die!
Great warrior!
Before we get started, does anyone want to get out?
So who talks first? You talk first? I talk first?
This is the 2v2 podcast. Daddy, Dave, and Steve are awesome!
Wearing the Mando helmet while we record. I was like, it's only suiting, you know. Please do. We're totally recording right now, by the way, too.
Well, this is...
It feels right.
It feels natural.
It does.
Like, this should be...
It looks awesome on you, man. I almost feel like... It's like, man, I kind of need to give that... I might just give that to you.
People look at me oddly if I just kind of walked around with this on all the time.
I wouldn't, because to me, it's just way wicked cool, and I think you should just wear it all the time. Like you could just tell them it's for safety.
Well, yeah.
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 I mean, it's all about safety, man. And you're just trying to be safe and not get hurt. But yeah, that's the Hasbro Black Series Poe Dameron helmet. And a buddy of mine who is a big prop builder by the name of Trent. Ah, son of a gun. Sorry, I'm trying to clean the screen of my iPad and talk at the same time. It just didn't quite work. I don't even have my headphones on yet, but we're recording, dadgummit, because
that's all right.
I had to while you...
Well, that's just... I walked in the room here, and there's always something new. And I looked at the table like, oh my God, where did this come from?
I got to do some cleaning in here, dude. Like, I've got so much crap here lately, but yeah, that...
Well, Dave, I didn't want to say anything. But yeah, we really do need to work on some organizational.
We do. And the thing is like, I've been working a lot of overtime, so that gives me extra play money, basically. So, here, let me get my headphones on so we can make this official. Official! Here we go. Hey, everybody, welcome to 2BT. I am David.
And I am Poe Michael.
Michael Dameron?
Michael Dameron.
There we go.
Hey, there's a singer named Michael Dameron.
Is there?
Yeah.
There's also Michael Bublé.
He's got a band called I Can Lick Any Son of Bitch in This House. He's awesome.
That's his band or is it his
band?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I like that.
It's a really long name.
Yeah, it is.
Michael Dameron, yeah.
Michael Dameron. I'm going to have to search that because you sent me a video earlier that was really cool. And that was, who was that again? That was
Sturgill Simpson.
Sturgill Simpson, man. That was really cool, man. I actually, like, dug the song. And not only that, like, the anime that it was playing to was really cool. Like I will say, I generally don't go in for anime. It's nothing against the genre itself. Something about a lot of the art style and stuff like that gets on my nerves. Why? And that's just my own personal opinion. I'm not saying anything bad about it or people that watch anime or anything like that. It's just like, for me personally, I'm not a big anime fan, but that one was really stinking cool, dude. Like,
a
really
lot going on.
Yeah, it was.
And it's, I discovered Sturgill Simpson by accident. He put out a album a few years back called Metamodern Sounds and Country Music.
Yeah.
And it's got this really psychedelic picture of him with all these weird looking, but if you listen to the music, it's just like traditional, like not the country that they play on the country stations, what they call bro country.
Yeah.
It's like country music.
Okay.
And he was on this British BBC show where they have, I can't remember the name of the show, but it's one of those, they will have a lot of different acts. They'll have Jay-Z.
Okay.
And Sturgill Simpson.
Oh,
and
wow.
Lawrence Welk. And you know what I'm saying? They'll have a wide variety, like up to six or seven. Foo Fighters will be over here, and they'll each play a song, and they keep going around.
Yeah.
And it's just a wide variety. Well, I was watching it, and here's this guy in tennis shoes, blue jeans, and an untucked shirt.
Yeah.
With an acoustic guitar, and he starts playing this song. Sounds like a good, normal country song. And he starts singing about how he saw Jesus on fire and Buddha. He met the Buddha, and next thing you know, he's tripping out and doing all this. And there's turtles. The song's title is Turtles All the Way Down.
Oh, okay.
So it's like really interesting stuff there, right?
Yeah.
Well, I listened to it. Loved all his first album. Then the second album came out a couple of years ago, and he kind of did a cover of a Nirvana. I think he did a Bruce Springsteen song, and then did some other stuff of his own. A little bit more like rock influence. And then I was listening to Joe Rogan and Everlast.
Yeah.
And Sturgill Simpson's been on there a couple of times, I think. And they mentioned that, oh, you got to listen to this song called "Sing Along" by Sturgill. That's just got released. I think they even released it while he made an appearance at Comic-Con.
Okay.
About it, because yeah. Netflix is producing a Japanese anime.
All right.
That's going to be released at the end of the month, in September.
Yeah. Sorry, I don't mean to distract you here. I'm moving stuff around.
No, I'm not paying attention to you.
Okay, good.
I'm listening to my own voice.
As
I said, and Joe Rogan was like talking. And
yeah.
Saying, man, you really need to check this out, because he's taking it to another level. He's like, he's going beyond, because you think Sturgill Simpson, oh, it's country music / alternative country / little rock and roll. No, he's taking it to a level beyond and adding Japanese anime full, like a feature film
kind of thing.
And I want to say the name
of it. So is he actually going to be on the soundtrack of that anime?
It's
then?
All him.
Oh, it's all him. Okay.
Let me read a little bit here. The album's going to be Sound and Fury.
Okay.
The single, Sing Along, just came out with an accompanying video that's from the movie that Netflix is going to put out at the end of the month when the album comes out.
Yeah.
Let's see here. I think some people recognize these people, though, who he's working with. Because Rogan was saying, oh, yeah, he's been flying back and forth to Japan, between Japan and California, like crazy, working on this project. Because he's like, this is like his vision. This is something he's just like created. Probably going to alienate a lot of people that originally listened to his like first album. That's like, oh, this is cool.
Yeah.
But it's going to be, the film was made in collaboration with the filmmaker who did Afro Samurai.
Oh, okay, cool.
I'm going to try to say the name without being butchering it. Takashi Okazaki.
Okay.
Is the guy that did Afro Samurai. And the filmmaker Junpei Mizusaki.
Yeah.
Who did Batman Ninja.
Oh,
are the ones cool. That did it. There's going to be 10 songs on the LP.
Yeah.
Sound and Fury record are the 10 songs that the music's for all the entire thing.
Oh, okay. You know what? We're going to pause real fast because I'm going to go grab my phone. There was something else I was needing to do on my phone. I can't remember what it is. But hold on just real quick. I came unprepared. My bad. All right. Now that I took us completely, totally, like, brought us to a stop. Oh, hey, look. There's a Michael.
Yeah.
The 2BT just tweeted.
Just a normal day in the neighborhood.
That's so awesome. I love it.
So, yeah, I'm super excited about this.
Yeah, man, it looks really cool. Because I watched, you know, I didn't just watch a piece of it. I watched the entire video. And, like, not only was the song really good, I dug it.
There's a surprise at the end. That reveal at the end when...
Oh, yeah. The
driver...
Yeah, where she takes off the Oni mask or whatever.
Gave the surprise away.
Well, no.
You don't know that's a...
Yeah, oh, yeah.
It's kind of like a surprise. It's like... That guy's a badass. Look at him drive that car.
Yeah.
What he's doing. It's going to be a really cool, I don't even know how to describe it.
I don't even know. Like, it's like a cool car / almost like Knight Rider type thing is what it looked like, since it had like all the computers and electronics and stuff like that on the inside. And I was trying to figure out exactly what was going on in the little video or whatever, because it's like there's a train that she's like fighting against or something.
It's like she's freeing all these things and the people are working to produce this stuff and loading it on the train, and then she does something.
Yeah, like it pays them in these canisters or something like that. Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah, and I couldn't exactly figure out what the devil was going on. And
hopefully it'll make sense when you watch the whole thing.
Yeah.
I'm definitely going to watch it. And the animation was really good.
Yeah. Yeah, it was.
High quality.
Oh, God. Most definitely. But yeah, it was one of those that was really, really pretty interesting. And I'm glad that you sent it, because I usually don't go in for anime, but that one actually looks really stinking cool.
Well, that's my recommendation for the week to check out. But you sent me one me and Steve last night that I didn't get the chance to see this morning. And I started, I'm like, what is this going to be? Is it like the... Is Journey,
yeah,
right?
Oh yeah,
without just, the music. It's kind of like bad lip reading for a music video.
Yeah, but not lip reading at all because, yeah. And then, like, as you watch the video, you're kind of like, man, like, what were they thinking of when they filmed that video? Like, they're just, like, doing... Oh, darn it.
You're sorry. Good. You're good.
Yeah, just jiggle that. For some reason, that's having a bad connection. I don't know if it's the adapters. I'm guessing that it's the adapters, and those are cheap adapters, so I just need to get new ones. But I was trying to set that microphone there so that way, but that's kind of like in the way, isn't it? That can still set over here.
Bothering me.
Well, I was going to say whenever we watch the video that we're, because we're going to watch The Mandalorian here in just a second. You know what? But I can do this, bring that down lower, and then we'll actually adjust the tilt of the microphone. Sorry, I'm sure this is like just exhilarating audio for people to listen to as I'm sitting here just goofing around with stuff, because you came over and I was totally unprepared. I didn't clean up the table or anything like that.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah,
I'm used to it,
but I did set some stuff back here so that you could check it out, like obviously the Poe Dameron helmet there, because like it's cool. That's like I said earlier, that's the Hasbro. Yeah, you just saw those. That's the Hasbro, Black Series Poe Dameron helmet that came out a couple of years ago. And my buddy Trent, he's a prop builder and he does all sorts of really cool stuff. He made the, he did that grappling hook up there and he did the water bottle that I got from the Last Jedi little viewing party that we had at his place.
Really high quality.
Yeah.
Like, it looks like it. It's a prop replica.
It is. And he's on the RPF, the replica prop forum and stuff like that. And he makes these, Jedi training remotes right now that are absolutely just ridiculous. Like it's insane. They're floating Jedi training remotes.
Get out of here.
Dude, it's insane. Like he's just one of those people that
sell this.
Yeah, he does. Yeah,
there's a cool podcast I listen to called Imaginary Worlds.
Okay,
and the guy looks into different aspects of fantasy and science fiction history.
Yeah,
gaming history and also the fandoms. And one of the things he did an entire cool episode on are people that do collect and the actual props from films.
Yeah.
And the people that make and design and the people that collect just the prop replicas.
Okay,
and
yeah.
It's amazing what you can actually get, but you've got to be very careful because you can get ripped off.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So you got to make sure that you have the proper paperwork and stuff like that that goes with the actual props or whatever. Yeah. Now, with prop replicas, you know, people, in fact, there's a whole community, a whole huge community of people building prop replicas left and right and stuff like that. And I'm actually going to be working on something soon myself that I bought recently that I'm still waiting to get in the mail. That's like kind of like a surprise for you guys because, like you said, you come over like every other week and, well, every other week as of right now. We usually try to do once a week, but as of here lately, it's been every other week. And every time you come over, there's something new. And of course, there's a lot new in here right now.
There really is. It's kind of overload.
Yeah. Well, as you saw these, I had the I wound up breaking down and I got the Hasbro retro figures. And man, like, so here is. I unfortunately don't have one of these on card, but there's the Farm Boy Luke.
Beautiful.
Right? So you take that Farm Boy Luke, and you take a gander at him, and I'll grab my actual one here off the shelf so that way you can see. Where is he at? Let's grab this one. And you can sit here and kind of like put the two together. Well, crap. Whoa. Sorry. You can put the two together and just kind of like do a comparison of them. Now, there were different variants of the Farm Boy Luke, and so one of them is the pants. Like that one that I have, his pants are a lot more yellow than the pants that's on the retro figure there.
Yeah.
You know, I've got another one right here. I'm going to try to get him off here without knocking everything down. But here's another one right here. That you can see the different variation just of the two actual vintage ones, the different colors of the pants. And that's what drives me up the wall is people collect all these variants and stuff like that. But you know, that one that I handed, the second one that I handed you, the one with the darker colored pants, actually looks more like the figure that they've got there in the package or whatever. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
But yeah, man, those retro collection figures are really, really cool, especially like whenever you compare the real cards together, because the backs, the card backs and everything is exactly the same, except for that little Hasbro tag that they have down there at the bottom of them. And they don't have the General Mills,
and it looks like they use the same casting mold or whatever.
Doesn't it though? The only difference is like there was some stuff down here at the bottom, and they also had like a General Mills proof of purchase.
Yeah,
that a lot of people would actually leave them on card, but then they'd cut out that pop, what they call the pop, the proof of purchase. They cut out that pop so that way they could send it in and get the mail away figures and stuff like that. But yeah, and then like you look at the actual cards. Like, this one isn't going to look the same because this is the Return of the Jedi. This one I told y'all about that I was actually getting.
Yeah. You were like, should I get this?
Yeah, I was like, should I get this or shouldn't I? And I did. But you can see, look at the card, and it's like spitting like image, yeah. Just even the same size and everything, man. Oh, yeah. Like, that's what's crazy about it. It's very cool. I like how they did that, except for that big old retro collection series
tag on it.
Tag that they put on it that is I can take off if I want to, but it's kind of neat, so I'm kind of thinking about leaving it on there. I don't know. We'll figure it out. I'll figure it out at some point in time. But, yeah.
Oh, I didn't notice this when you sent the picture. It even comes with the robe.
Yeah. Well, it's got the robe, the blaster, and the saber and everything like that. Because it's mint on card, dude. It hasn't been opened or touched or whatever since 1983 or whenever it came out, you know, because that was produced from like, I think like 83 to 85.
I bet you were really.
Oh, dude.
Were you home when it got delivered?
I was not home whenever it got delivered, but I came home and there was a big stack of boxes on my front porch because I got a ton of stuff. Crap. And that reminds me, I forgot to bring the other thing in here that you had said that I needed to get. And then I saw it like in a sale for like stupid cheap. So I picked it up.
Because I grab it. I'll
we're going to pause it again. Here. We're going to be recording. We're off pause. We'll just leave it recording and you can talk to yourself.
I'm going to describe the room.
All right. Oh, well, just real fast. And you can look at this and play around with this. I bought that one, too.
Biker Scout.
Yeah, dude.
$2.99.
It's one of my favorite figures of all time was the Biker Scout. I don't know why.
Is that what it cost in the past?
Yeah, that's what it cost in the past. Now, those are actually from, like, these could be from a different part of the world because those were cheaper in our area. Because I remember I could take $2 and get a G.I. Joe Man or Star Wars Man with my $2.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Well, this is an amazing looking thing here. You just handed me Star Wars Return of the Jedi Biker Scout. It's the Biker Scout with his little pistol. Let me describe, since he's not here, let's describe the craziness that's going on in this room. It's getting insane. There are boxes piled up on top of boxes. I don't know what anything is. It used to be fairly well clean. Oh, he's back. Oh, never mind. It's okay. This is a beautiful room.
It used to be fairly well clean. Look, what are you talking about? This is clean. Oh, my God. Get out of here, Michael.
We got vintage Luke's just laying around like they're just bubblegum wrappers.
They're on vacation, man. They took a break from the stand.
You're making me nervous, man. Put him up.
I am. Yeah.
And put him back where he goes.
Yeah, we're going to throw him right there. And he's going to come over here. See if I can do this. Yeah, there we go. So I got the Biker Scout.
Oh, yeah. I forgot I even told you to do this.
Yeah, you told me that I needed this, so I picked it up. And, like, dude, I don't know what a Darrell, D-A-R-E-L is what it looks like, where it came from. But it was $2.88. What gets me is the advertising on the actual thing with the kid. Like, I'm pretty sure that we all had that haircut. And, in fact,
I don't think mine ever got that long, but y'all's did.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, most definitely. And, like, actually kind of look at the kid. The kid kind of looks like Danny a little bit, our cousin Danny. Flip it over.
It really does. And I think he even had that same yellow shirt.
I'm sure he did. Even those pants. Probably wore those the Easter Sunday one time.
I got to get it. Let me do a closer shot here right now. All right. First.
Yeah.
Save this.
But yeah, dude, I got an amazing price on that. And that's not actually a sealed box. That box has actually been opened. I have not, just because, like, the guy taped the box shut, and that's cool. I'm totally okay with that. I just gotta like
probably just some wadded up t-shirt.
No, you're right. That's exactly what it is. As long as it's a vintage t-shirt, that's all that matters.
He is such a happy little boy,
isn't he? Though, like I would be too. Like he's wearing Chewbacca's bandolier, and he's got like awesome Star Wars figures stacked inside that thing too.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
He comes with two pouches for accessories and secret messages.
Yeah. That's so that way you could put stuff like it, you could put secret messages in there and be like, if you found this, you better drop it or I'm going to find you and kick your butt.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because that's what I probably would have put in it. Like the message I would have put in it and stuff.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, dude. Isn't it cool though? Like, I just like, I love looking at these things and looking at the, and looking at the, like, the advertising or the, like the kids actually on the packages and stuff. Like and you know what? Honestly, like I can't remember of another Star Wars package. Somebody's going to tell me that I'm wrong, and I probably am wrong, but I can't remember of another Star Wars package, toy package that had actual kids on it playing and stuff like that. This one actually has a kid.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
But
that makes you like, I want to track that guy down.
Yeah, I know. Like, see, like, where is he at today?
Hates Star Wars.
Oh, he almost kind of looks like Ricky Schroeder a little bit.
He's like a mix of
our cousin Danny and Ricky Schroeder almost.
Yeah, those pants he's wearing are pulled pretty high.
Yeah.
Too, aren't they?
Oh yeah. That's why. That's I just even though it does kind of look like Danny, I was like, you know what? Now that he kind of looks like Ricky Schroeder, I kind of hate him because Ricky Schroeder had everything, and they had that big old train that went through their house there on Silver Spoons.
Yeah.
Yeah. I couldn't watch that show, man, because as a kid, I was like, the kid's got everything cool. And I couldn't.
He doesn't appreciate
it. He doesn't, man, because he was a little rich kid. And then he had Carlton there hanging out with him. And who doesn't want to hang out with Carlton?
Yeah, Carlton.
Yeah, Alfonso. What's that dude's name, Alfonso? What?
You would ask me. I don't know.
I can't think of it. Like, I'm trying to be cool and act like I actually know his real name. I just know, like, his first name is, like, Alfonso. And he was on, like, I think he was doing America's Funniest Home Videos at one point in time.
I don't know.
Well, we got really sidetracked.
Homework for everybody out there.
We got really sidetracked. I went into Silver Spoons, and
that's something I haven't even thought about. You're asking me to retrieve data. That's been filed way back. It has to be decompressed and opened up. And
oh, yeah. Right?
I'm not prepared to do that right now.
I don't either, man. Like, and like I said, I didn't really watch the show just because it used to piss me off.
I watched it all the time.
Yeah. You did?
Yeah.
Yeah, you sat there and daydreamed. You probably went to your room and was like, what was his character name on Silver Spoons?
I'm still transporting, exporting these files. I can't remember. I don't know.
Nah, I got you. Oh man. So, yeah, that's been since you've been gone.
There you go.
I can't breathe for the first time. But since you've been gone, that's all the stuff that I've gotten. The Biker Scout, I was keeping that as a secret because it's really cool, dude. I love that so much. And it was like I couldn't pass it up, dude. It's such a good buy. Like I couldn't pass it up. So I broke down and got it.
You've done well.
I have, man. I have. I've done well.
Thank God for overtime, right?
Oh yeah. I won't say thank God for overtime. It's kind of like a curse because I hate doing it and I hate working it. But it allows me to get
cool
stuff.
All you
cool
got to do, though, is look at the cool stuff. It's like, well, I guess the day of my life is worth it.
Like the past like 4 months, I've gone from having zero carded figures to four carded figures.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. And it just kind of started on a whim because over I saw there, one right? at the G.I. Joe show. Yeah, yeah. There's the two of them are right over there because I saw the one at the G.I. Joe show and the dude was like $60. And I was like, oh, what? See, okay.
See, those need to know. They have to have a special place to display them.
Yeah, that's why.
You got.
Why they're over there and kind of out of the way.
To be done.
There is, man. I've got to do some real serious, like real reorganizing because I've just got no space for stuff and like.
Got to prioritize.
Well, that no, like don't get me wrong. I do like the sequel movies, but I'm thinking about removing my sequel Black Series figures and just storing them, just because I don't have the room for them.
I don't know. You have wall space. You could put shelves up in other places, and that's not necessarily in here and on the secondary.
Yeah.
Location and have this all for your
for like the I've been kind of toying with that idea. Like part of me wants to really convert my garage at some point in time, and I really want to do that and have like the Star Wars room / studio / theater type thing, like just have like a projector to play movies and stuff, because then if it's a converted garage, there's no windows in there, so it's going to get dark as hell as soon as the lights get turned off.
It's definitely doable, and you know, we talked about this a long time ago, and it involved like just walling in the garage door and all this stuff. You don't even have to do that, because if you ever sell, you might want to sell it as with a garage.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You can finish out, insulate the walls. You could put up a faux wall that fits tight that's going to be able to be removed.
Oh, okay.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It'll be insulated. You'll insulate between the garage door and this, because it's easy to frame up a wall.
Yeah.
And it won't have to be like put into the concrete like you would a normal a wall when you're building it. Like when we did our library, we actually nailed those into the concrete.
Yeah, you sank them in to the, anchored them in. Yeah.
But you can still have the same effect, get you run a vent from your air conditioning, so it's climate control.
Yeah,
and then done.
You okay, don't
even have it finished out that much.
Heck, that's yeah, dude.
Blow in there and there. We needed to get on that.
Yeah, no kidding. That would be amazing. I've got too much stuff out my garage. So
we can just dig a. Let me go rent a.
I've got like
a backhoe. Yeah, we'll dig a big hole in the front yard.
That sounds good.
Everything just goes in the hole and covered up.
Sounds great. We just got to watch out for the plumbing line, because the plumbing line's out front. We can do it in the back. We'll How's that backyard, sound?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll do it in the backyard. Or I've got that big empty field here behind my house. Nobody's using that. We could just get out there and start digging in that.
And you might be scared what you might find buried already.
Yeah, it's probably just a few dead cats from when Sally was alive.
Hell yeah.
Because they jump over that fence, and I'm pretty sure that a lot of them were pretty torn up at the time that they jumped over the fence, and they didn't make it far after that, so...
Oh, wow.
Oh, well. Yeah. Anyways, the derailing. Big, yeah, the big stuff that has happened this week, D23's been going on this weekend.
Yeah.
And we were kind of hoping that there'd be like some sort of trailer for Rise of Skywalker. Now, I sent you guys.
Now, there was one shown.
There was one shown.
But it's not made public yet.
It hasn't been made public yet. And I think somebody said something that it was coming in like October or some crap like that.
Did you
or whatever.
Hear? I did cheat on this and read a little bit of description of that.
Oh, really?
About Rey.
No.
The lightsaber. Have you?
I heard something about that. It shows her with a double-bladed red lightsaber or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
that just made me.
Well, I'll be honest, man. Like, I've been saying, like, to me, she should have a double-bladed saber.
Because she's used to using
She's that. Used to that bow staff type thing that she used anyways. So, to me, it makes sense that she would have a double-bladed lightsaber. Like, whenever they showed her playing, you know, using the old Skywalker lightsaber.
Yeah.
Like, and I won't say just, you know, Luke or Anakin, because it was used by both of them. So, whenever they were showing her use the old Skywalker saber, I was really kind of hoping that it would be a little bit further in the future, and she had already like constructed a lightsaber, and her constructed lightsaber would be a double bladed lightsaber, because that would just make sense to me. But you know, they didn't do that. But I wasn't not saying I was disappointed with her using the Skywalker saber. That's still a cool, really cool saber. But so yeah,
possibly that's what this is, though, something she's constructed.
Yeah,
is an idea. It's a guess. Isn't that what happened with Luke?
Yeah.
He came back and he had constructed his own lightsaber.
Oh, dude, the green lightsaber.
Yeah.
And that's one of the deleted scenes that I've actually got in there on the Blu-ray that's on a Blu-ray edition that shows, like, all the deleted scenes and stuff like that. And they showed that at Celebration – was that Celebration 5? I think it was Celebration 5 that they announced the Blu-ray edition was coming out. And that was one of the things that they had showed, was Luke sitting in a cave on Tatooine before he went to rescue Han Solo from the vile clutches of the gangster Jabba the Hutt. And it showed him actually constructing it. And, you know, it shows him doing the few last finishing touches on it. He closes it up and turns it on, and it's green. And, like, I thought it was, like, I thought the deleted scene was really, really cool, but, like, still, man, like, there's that thing in, like, Return of the Jedi where he first, like, gets the saber and ignites it, and it's green, and it's like, oh, my gosh, that's so cool. Yeah. Oh, dude, like, that takes the chill bumps from being a little kid seeing that for the first time in the movie theater. It's like, what? It's green? Oh, my gosh, he's got a different lightsaber now?
They know how to sell those toys.
Oh, dude, yeah, most definitely. They know, I mean, like, they know how to sell those toys. They know how to, like, they know how to hit every blasted string on it. But we are going to watch the Mandalorian trailer yet.
I haven't watched
this. And you haven't watched it because I had an idea.
Because I'm strong.
You are strong, and I am weak, and I failed. I have no problem in saying that. Like, Mike's over here doing his fist bumping and now like playing with his beard. Like, I'm so awesome. Yeah, I failed. I couldn't resist, man. Like, it popped. And it was all my idea, too. That's what's bad.
I missed it. Right? I've been like, so busy. It's like, what did you think of my Mandalorian idea? I'm like,
yeah.
What are you talking about? So I went back and looked. It was like, I saw you had posted the video and said, I failed. I'm like, I missed it. And he's like, no, I saw, oh, the whole thing was, let's not watch this. And then it said, I failed. I said, well, I haven't, because I didn't know this was out.
Right. That's why I have the iPad turned more towards you, so that way you can see it more than what I can, because I've already watched it like 500 times. Because I'm weak. I have no willpower, whatever it comes to Star Wars.
I don't blame you. If they had released the trailer for Rise of Skywalker and you said, hey, let's wait, that I wouldn't have been able to do.
Oh, God, no. So. Yeah. But this, like, dude, I'm so sold on it. It looks so amazing. I'm going to make sure that the volume is turned up all the way. Hopefully we can catch the volume here on this. There we go. The volume is going to be all the way up. Okay. Dude, all I can say is get ready. And, okay, just to kind of give everybody the basis, like, I sent Michael a text of, like, saying, hey, well, I sent in the group text with me, you, and Steven saying, hey, whenever we record, let's all hold off on not watch the Mandalorian trailer until Sunday, until we record. This way we can all have first reactions, like, recorded. So here comes Michael's first reaction of watching the Mandalorian trailer. We're going to hit play.
What?
Oh.
Back it all the way up.
That would have been a disaster.
Yeah, right?
What's going on there? What?
Yeah, it's loading. I don't know why it's loading.
Oh, stormtrooper helmets in the sand. Oh. Oh, God.
Yeah.
Those are heads on
spikes. Those are stormtrooper helmets on the spikes, and then you have the
There's heads in the helmets, though, aren't there? Because there's blood.
It looked like it.
Flying over a green planet.
Yeah, I like the design of the ship, man.
There's
what? Carl Weathers, man. Yeah, isn't that cool? Oh, you know what? I don't even have that microphone plugged in, so it's doing us no good whatsoever.
Oh, man.
Death Troopers, dude. How cool is that?
There's so much going on, and I don't know what it is, but it's something I have to watch.
Oh, God, yeah.
Oh, did he have a silver helmet?
Yes, he has a silver helmet.
Like the Lone Ranger.
Right.
No, Lone Ranger had a white hat. But
yeah. But he rode silver.
It's completely Western vibes.
Oh, dude, totally. Totally Western vibes, especially this right here.
God.
That shot from the hip, dude. That shot from the hip.
What's that?
Oh, wait.
Oh, that's oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah.
Okay, so the things that I saw in that. So we're gonna rewind
it. Unpack this for me here, because there's a lot in that. I was one of those people. I've been on the fence. Like, okay, another subscription service. I can't do it.
Yeah,
I can't do it. But that alone is gonna make me at least for a month.
Oh yeah. Well, and I did see that they are doing a special. It's $12.99 a month, and you'll get Hulu, Disney Plus, and ESPN as it's gonna be if you sign up the day of. It's $12.99 a month for those three services.
And there's a ton of other things that have been... I'm not trying to derail us.
No.
But I've seen that they have lots planned for, like, the Marvel stuff. It's going to be written Moon Knight.
So much stuff. And the Obi-Wan series. Yeah.
God.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, find something that I can cancel.
Right?
I want to...
Well, it's almost like, to me, like don't get me wrong, like, I sent y'all a thing the other day saying the second season of Mindhunter was out. And, man, I tell you, like, Netflix to me is kind of like dropping the ball. Like, a lot of their shows will be really good for, like, the first two seasons, and then they'll, like, just completely, totally drop the ball. Like, I never even finished the second season of The Punisher. It didn't keep my attention, man. I don't know what it was about it. It just totally, and it could, maybe I've got a sour spot in me for Netflix right now, because all that they do is try to push their own stuff and push their own stuff, and they've got so many shows now that they just try to shove down your throat.
Hard to keep up with.
It's hard to keep up with, and it's just too much, and that's all that they want to show is that their stuff. And I'm really switched over to Hulu more myself. Like, that's all I watch nowadays is Hulu. I've finally, like, bit the bullet and, like, upgraded to the no commercials tier, because I spend more time watching Hulu than what I do Netflix. So I'm honestly, I'm seriously considering dropping Netflix myself. But let's take another spin on this real fast. So,
okay, wait.
Yeah, go ahead and back it up.
There we go.
I got this microphone turned on.
Now, sweet. Dang, that looks cool.
Yeah, dude. That the helmets on the pikes really gets me. I'm like, dude, that is so freaking awesome. Then you have the Lucasfilm badge.
Good, the bad, the ugly feel.
Yeah. Oh, dude, totally. Down. I even like the design of the ship. For some reason, the ship kind of it has a bit of a horse feel, like a flying horse feel to it. Carl Weathers, dude. I love the fact that they put Carl Weathers in this stupid thing. Like, I don't know why, but it's freaking awesome. The aliens that are making appearances in it. Okay, just then we saw... just then, there's an alien that we've seen before that you've seen a lot of before. And that's been one of my complaints with the new movies. A lack of familiar aliens. Like, there's a Twi'lek in this. The people with the
long...
With the long... Yeah, like...
Tentacle-like.
Yeah, they call them Leku, but the little head tentacles and stuff like that. That's a Twi'lek. We see one of those in Jabba's throne room and stuff like that. There's another dude, the little dog face looking guy, and I can't think of what those aliens are called, but we see those before, and Jabba's thing as well. So we're going to pick it back up and start it off again after I rewind it a little ways. So the dude there on the... I love that shot that shows him walking across the plane or whatever.
That'd be a good poster.
Death Troopers, dude. I love the Death Troopers. But just that shot of him, like, fingering, like, little tapping his gun.
Yeah.
Very Westernish.
Well, they don't show his face.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like, you know, the whole man with no name type thing.
Yep. That's just that whole Clint Eastwood vibe.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
And the IG-88 droid. Oh, dude. Mexican standoff. If you look at, oh, dude, that whole, like, shot from the hip, I freaking love it. And that was I'm pretty sure that's a Gödel, but it shows people in carbonite, and there's four of them, and it's like, oh, dude, so is that how he transports his, and if you look at one of his shoulder bells is actually the shoulder bell from a shore trooper.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, so.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I sit there.
I'm kind of glad you did watch it, though, because you were able to point some things out that there's so much. Uh-oh, what are we watching now?
I don't know what that is. It looks like Cersei.
This Lionsgate movies. Are we watching a movie?
I don't know.
It's an ad.
It just started with the second one, didn't it? Is it an ad?
It says Lionsgate movies. Based on the real scandal. I don't know who that is.
I don't know. Now I'm intrigued. Now we got to see what's going on here. There's like some people standing in an elevator.
What started with a whisper?
Ooh, a whisper. Isn't that Cersei Lannister?
No.
The chick with the blonde hair?
That is not.
Sure kind of looks like her.
Will end.
Oh. Shame. Shame. Okay.
With a bombshell.
Ooh.
Oh, it's bombshells. I heard about this.
Okay. We'll just pause that.
It's like a... Oh, okay. It's about like they're like parroting Fox News or something like that.
Oh, okay. Well, after we're done recording here, we can go into the living room and we'll play The Mandalorian on the big screen of the TV.
Yeah,
so
now I'm excited.
Watch it again. Oh, dude, it's so awesome.
I think I'm more... I'm almost more excited about this than Rise of Skywalker.
I am more excited for this than what I am Rise of Skywalker. Rise of Skywalker, like, I'm excited about it, but it's also like... I think it's going to be great sadness for me at the same time, you know, because it's like, it's the end for me.
Let's get into this a little bit.
Yeah.
Cause this interests me and I don't disagree, but I want to unpack what, like, cause your brother said it first, I think the other night in our little group messaging thing.
Yeah.
He said, once this is over, Star Wars is over for me.
It almost kind of feels like that for me also.
Like they're going to be doing more stuff.
They're going to be doing more stuff.
But it's not.
And I'll still love it. And I will still see it. And I'll still go see it on opening night and all like this type of stuff for like the movies and things like that. But the core of it for me, I kind of feel like, and I won't be able to like 100% tell until I see it, but I kind of feel like it's the end for me as well with Star Wars, like, because Skywalker, the Skywalker lineage, the Skywalker story is, you know, in a sense, my story, not about me or anything like that. And I don't have ownership over it, but that's what I'm attached to.
Well, you've been your entire life, because you were a wee baby.
I was 1 year old whenever New Hope came out.
And it has been in your life from the time you were born.
And that's what I tell people. It has been born. Like, Star Wars is 42 and I'm 43.
Yeah.
My first toys that I remember having are Star Wars toys, you know, besides like things like Weebles Wobble, but they won't fall down. And like,
I love those.
Oh dude. Yeah. Weebles Wobble, but they won't fall down. But like, besides like the preschool kids toys and stuff like that, that I had, you know, before I got smart enough to don't stick that in your mouth, you know, to the age of four, like everything after that, like the first things I remember were Star Wars toys.
Yeah.
They've always been part of me, and they've always been Luke, Han, Leia, Chewbacca, R2-D2, 3PO, things like that. That's kind of one of the things that I have that kind of makes me a little bit bitter about the sequel trilogy is the lack of R2 and 3PO in them.
Right.
Whenever, to me, like, it's even like been said that the kind of like the movies are kind of told from their point of view, because it's they're at every point in time,
pretty much every thing that major that happens there.
Yeah. So it's been kind of like a sore spot with me. Like, I love the new movies, don't get me wrong, but whenever I sit there and say like my Star Wars, just know I'm always talking about the original trilogy and stuff like that. You know, I love the prequels, but like if I say my Star Wars, I'd say the original trilogy.
And then you get, we've discussed this before with Steven, it's like for his kids, though, for little Steven, his Star Wars
is
the prequels.
The prequels.
And then for kids growing up now, their Star Wars will be
the sequels. Yeah. And there's kids that will actually prefer, like, the Clone Wars and stuff like that over, you know, even the prequel and the original trilogy and stuff.
See, that's what I think is awesome. The Star Wars that is our Star Wars is coming to an end, because the story of Skywalker is the foundation for all of it, right?
Oh, God, yeah.
But the beauty of it, and this ties into something we've been talking about for quite a lot lately, is the Pierce Brown.
Oh, yeah.
He has done his first three books are the trilogy that introduced a world. The second three books that he's got two out now of are expanding the world.
Yeah.
And then maybe when he's done with this, we don't know what he plans on doing.
Oh, yeah.
But he does have a comic book tied into the Sons of Ares. That's the second comic book miniseries is coming out soon, which I'm super psyched about.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to end up with the hardcovers of both of them. You do. Because I need it.
You should.
And
was
so
that one of our phones a train. Okay, it was just really loud, so I was like, was that one of our phones? Because it sounded
I need a Ryan Bingham sound effect. And one of his begins one of his songs, he's always gotta be a blanking train, because it's a live, he's out recording acoustic live.
Okay.
But what he's created is he could go on, and once the story of Darrow is over,
yeah,
alive or dead or just right into the sunset, whatever,
yeah,
you got a feeling. If it comes to an end in this trilogy, it comes to an end, or if it continues for another trilogy,
yeah,
you could do that, because that's kind of what Terry Brooks with the Shannara, who is a Del Rey. I've looked at all the different all great authors that have been put out, because that's what Del Rey publishes: Pierce Brown's books, publishes Shannara books, publishes the Star Wars books.
They do the Dresden. That's Penguin Books that does. Dresden.
So many great authors are in the Del Rey family.
Oh yeah.
I'm diverting myself, but I could see him having, okay, this is my career, I can just keep putting this out.
Yeah.
But for me, having started with this, the Red Rising trilogy.
Yeah.
Once that story's over, that's the core. But I can see going off, and I'll enjoy every side story.
Oh, God, yeah.
He's created this comp. I want to go live with Obsidians.
Oh, right.
I want to go back in history and see what happened.
Oh, yeah.
He could open it up to, depending on the level of success he has, especially if this TV deal gets done.
Yeah.
I could see them doing, and he won't do this because he is so in control of his world. He's not going to let other people write it. But no. I could see that. I hope this guy, all the success in the world, George Lucas level success.
Oh, God, dude, that's the same here.
He's that, I know I sound like a kiss butt, but I believe he's that ingenious and talented. What he's created so too, is amazing.
He's made his world so realistic, and in a fantasy way. You know, just the characters and on how much he's built on the world. It's very, it almost feels like it's just like a real place that somebody's been, that I've been able to sit there and view as a whatever. I can't think of a voyeur, you know, I guess, yeah, or whatever, you know, just sit there and view from afar and just see all these events unfolding or whatever. So yeah, I can totally see where it's so much room to expand on, especially with the children.
Aren't we due a big,
I think so,
thing like this that could be the next Star Wars?
Oh God, yeah.
The Expanse could have been that, but I don't think sci-fi did enough when they did the series, and they probably had a lower budget and stuff.
I feel like the actual Expanse books are amazing and they're great.
Yes.
But to me, the Expanse is still very, it takes a certain type of person or type of reader to really kind of get into those, because like we both said, they do start kind of slow. Whereas Red Rising, and that's not a knock on the Expanse whatsoever. So please, anybody that's like a huge Expanse fan, don't take that as a knock on it, because
I can't wait till the next one.
Oh released. God, that's the same here. Like I cannot wait. But to me, it seems like Red Rising, it has a broader expanse, like just because of the way it's written, it has a broader reach. Just because something about it just seems to me that it has that appeal to it that other people would be able to sink their teeth into it. And I really feel like the Sci-Fi Channel kind of dropped the ball with the Expanse series. Like, I couldn't do it. I've tried a couple of times, and like, it just, to me, it didn't, like, the story wasn't there or something like that or whatever. Maybe it just deviated a little bit too much for me, because it didn't really deviate too much from the actual story in the book. But to me, it kind of felt like it deviated a little bit too much to where I couldn't really get into the series on the Sci-Fi Channel and stuff like that. Like, and I've tried, and I've dug it a little bit. It's kind of like the same thing that they did with the Dresden Files, because the Dresden Files had a series on the Sci-Fi Channel. And I know I've talked to some people, and I think you said that you were one that said you really liked it, but I'd started with the books, and like, I saw the stories that they took from the books and made into shows and stuff like that, but they totally deviated from them so much.
Well, going back in retrospect, having read a number of the books, not all of them yet, I can see why somebody that's a fan of the books would be like, hey, what? This doesn't feel right.
Oh, God, yeah. Like, there were certain choices that it made me wonder. I was like, why did they do that? Like, they took his staff and made it a hockey stick, and I was like, why did they do that for? And then they took his...
Which is weirder, a guy carrying a walking stick, or a guy walking around town with a hockey stick.
Yeah, exactly. And then the fact that they took a VW bug that's supposed to be all beat up and stuff like that and made it an army jeep. And I was like, why did you do that for also? Like, it just didn't make sense to me. I don't know why. And I was just like, oh, okay, whatever. I like the actor that they had play Harry. He's been in a bunch of other stuff. He's also been in Green Arrow
he's a good actor.
Yeah, I dig that guy. It's just, I just didn't care too much for the series. But
back to the Mandalorian.
Yes, back to the Mandalorian.
Like, going back to the whole, this has the feel.
This has the feel of Star Wars to it.
The look.
It has the feel. I don't know about the story, because I don't know anything about the story yet, but everything about it right now.
We don't know what time period this is set in.
We do. It's actually after the Return of the Jedi. So it's like maybe two, 3 years after Return of the Jedi.
The Return of the Jedi is kind of like it's the reason why they went with the Wild West, because it's kind of
there's
a power vacuum.
Yeah, because the Empire is gone. And so, like, they even showed, and that's kind of what I'm curious about, because, like, one of the leaked footage things that we got to see at Celebration, well, I don't guess it was leaked footage at the time, because it was the 7 minutes that they showed of the first episode at Celebration, shows the Mandalorian going in to talk to this one guy.
Yeah.
That they show there at the end. He's a famous actor. He's a German guy, and I can't think of what his name is right now, but he goes in to talk to him. And as he goes in to talk to him, he's surrounded by, like, stormtroopers and things like that, like his own personal guard or whatnot.
Werner Herzog.
Yeah, Werner Herzog. So, like, there's it seems like there's still factions of, like, Imperials and stuff like that. Like, it shows the one guy in the trailer that he's got, like, the Death Troopers, and he's, like, some sort of admiral or whatever. And so, like, I don't know, like, if the basis of this is him going around clearing out these, like, factions of like, this sporadic, like, cells, I guess, basically, of Imperials or whatever, or
see,
what?
You just hit on the beauty of the universe that is created so well. It lends itself to so many possibilities in storytelling.
Yeah.
It could be like, okay, there's a power vacuum at the top, and these people just break off. And, well, I'm just going to... It's like a warlord scenario. Well, we're just going to run rampant over the people of this planet.
Yeah.
And the kind of like, you know, you watch an old Japanese shogun, or not shogun, a samurai movie where there's these warlords that just can have reign of terror over these villages.
Yeah.
And here comes the lone samurai, the Ronin, just like the Clint Eastwood movies and the other movies, the Magnificent Seven, that are completely taken from the Seven Samurai by Kurosawa.
Exactly.
And it's this, like, here comes the heroes against all these forces that you can't beat, and they find a way to win.
Oh yeah.
And you can do that with all the whole universe.
Oh god, yeah. And and that's what I love about it, is because I've always said, like, Boba Fett has that Western feeling, and even in, like, Bespin in Empire Strikes Back, as they, you know, where they walk in and they're like, we're honored you could join us, and they're, you yeah. see the stormtroopers walk up, and then Boba Fett comes around the corner. If you listen in that little
spurs,
the spurs jingling,
yeah,
and it's like, it's always had, like, this, like, I always used the term the man with no name for Boba Fett. Like, I've heard some people say that there's a really cool way that they could continue on with that story and stuff like that, or whatever, that I heard actually is on Rebel Force Radio, where they were talking about how they could continue on with the story of Boba Fett, have, like, Boba Fett gets killed or whatever, and this whoever kills him, like, picks up the helmet and then puts the helmet on and takes the armor, and so you get to continue on with Boba Fett. So no longer is he now the son of Jango, or is he actually Boba, but now he it's
whoever wears the armor, whoever wears Batman's cowl.
Yeah, exactly. Batman. It's Batman. Yeah, exactly. So it's kind of a really cool concept that I really wish that somebody would take and just run with, that would be really neat, man.
No, I'm getting really excited
about this. Oh, no, dude. But the Mandalorian looks so awesome. Like, I cannot wait for November to get here. Like,
So it comes out November.
November 12th.
Now, is this going to be release everything at once so you can binge, or are they going to do the Hulu model where you got to wait a week?
I don't know. As far as I know, I think it's all going to be, like, immediately. Like, as soon as it releases, it's released, and there you can just go from point one to point.
Do we know how many episodes are going to be?
That's another thing. I don't have any idea.
Jon Favreau is at the helm.
Dude, Jon Favreau. Jon Favreau and Dave Filoni are the two men that are in charge of it.
So Filoni's big brain and Favreau's care for detail.
Oh, yeah.
Because we've watched him on that chef show on Netflix. Crap.
Yeah.
Did you hurt yourself?
No, I just scared the hell out of me because I just whacked the hell out of my microphone like a noob.
My respect for Jon Favreau has continued. I've always liked him, but the more I see him, the more
I love the guy, dude.
He has such an attention to his surroundings and detail and what he's doing and being present in what he's doing. Basically, he was this other guy's little servant.
Yeah.
And he was happy and content in doing it because he was absorbing the experience of learning how to cook.
Oh, yeah.
And then he'd say, carry this case of bananas in three cases into this building or something, or carry this big giant totes of meat.
Yeah.
Jon Favreau is a guy who's had enough success. He doesn't have to do anything.
No, he has people that carry stuff for him, I'm sure, all the time.
But
this chef is like, here, carry this in. And he's like, oh, okay.
Okay. Because he wants to experience
it.
And he, you know, he's the perfect kind of guy for this project. It shows in the trailer.
Oh yeah. Oh dude. And well, you have Jon Favreau, like you said, who is amazing with the attention of detail, who did Iron Man, who basically to me kicked off the Marvel universe to be what it is.
Right.
I know Kevin Feige had a huge hand in that, with keeping the story group together and all, like, this type of stuff and making everything cohesive. But Jon Favreau and his attention to detail and his amazing hand of making something, like, because I never would have cared about a character like Iron Man until I saw the movie Iron Man, and I was like, holy crap, this is awesome.
Yeah.
And that was all to me, it was all Jon Favreau and getting to work with amazing actors like Robert Downey Jr. and stuff like that. Yeah. And Gwyneth Paltrow and, you know, even himself is in there as Happy. Mm-hmm. But then you also, not only do you have Jon Favreau at the helm, but you also have Dave Filoni at the helm, who is like, he learned at the foot of George.
Right.
I think he was lead director on Clone Wars, and then he became like executive producer of like things like Rebels and stuff like that. This is his first venture, as far as I know, personally, into live action.
Yeah.
But like I said, he learned at the foot of George. Like, he spent hours upon hours upon hours with George and was actually, you know, kind of standoffish at first whenever George was like, oh yeah, this is Ahsoka, it's Anakin's Padawan, and he was like, no, George, Anakin never had a Padawan, and he's like, nope, he does now, and he was like, oh, okay, cool. And then like he learned at the foot of George, which to me is like the biggest, I mean, what could you ask for out of somebody, right, whenever it comes to Star Wars? Like, oh well, there's this guy who has seen the films 5 times, or the dude that got to work with George for like 10, 12 years, however long it was. Yeah, I'm going to go with the dude who got to work with George for 10, 12 years.
I think so.
And that's the reason why I was kind of disappointed that like he didn't have a bigger role himself inside of Lucasfilm, because he should. Because he's...
Well, there's him, and who's the guy that's kind of like the... He's like the archivist of all knowledge.
Oh,
for
Pablo Hidalgo.
Pablo Hidalgo.
Yeah.
Yeah, those two names, if they are going to ever associate with something, that's who you go to for.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
their knowledge is so great.
He's Pablo Hidalgo, he's like the keeper of the holocron, I think, right, is what they used to call it, or yeah, whatever. Yeah. You know, so he was the keeper of canon, like kind of put everything in line or whatnot. Which is actually, speaking of which, like, it's kind of cool because it's one of the things that came out of D23 is they actually have like a timeline thing that they released that has everything and where it fits in on the timeline. Now, like, it's kind of funny because like I kind of knew where everything would be at, you know, mm-hmm, but like, mm-hmm, they've actually got a timeline with little tick marks that shows like what year it is and whatnot and all like this type of stuff. So that's like really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that I thought was pretty interesting. And another thing, like, you know, going back to what we were talking about earlier about with like Star Wars, like to me, Star Wars is kind of going to end. Like I said, I'll still go see it on opening night. I'll still love everything that they put out. I don't know if I'll collect it as much as what I have, because like, as you can see, I've really kind of shifted focus. Like, my focus is now like the vintage stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I love it. Speaking of which, the other day I said that I was finished, but I wasn't finished. I actually had this little dude right here to finish up. I've got a nice little Wicket, the Ewok. This is the actual last of the original 77 that I didn't have.
Oh.
So that's the actual...
That's it. In all its glory.
Yep. We'll save him. Oh, crap. There goes stuff.
Dominoes.
Yep. We're just... Yeah. So that's the final one. That's it. That's the end. Out of the original 77 that was released. And I know I said 82 before, but that's because I was counting variants and I wasn't paying attention. But yeah, so that's it. I'll take a picture of it and we can throw it up on Twitter also.
Yeah, do that.
Because
that's an accomplishment.
Right? Yeah. Yeah, and that's and like totally getting off, like, but still about what we were talking about. He just was sitting here on the table, and I'd forgotten about him because stuff got shifted around, and I was going to talk about him earlier. But yeah, so Wicket got put up. And one thing that bothered me with the retro figures is they went with the big head Han, whenever it should be the small head Han, because they did 12 back cards, and the small head Han was the first one that came out. But anyways, going back to the ending of the Skywalker saga. Because you asked me how it would feel like for me. What about for you? Do you?
I think I have that same feeling. Like, if they were done here with when this is the end of the Skywalker story,
yeah,
they're saying, I don't necessarily know if I believe them.
Yeah.
Because I don't know. I can see many ways in which this can be the end, but it can continue on.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because as a storyteller, you can hide things in there to where you can pull a string and next thing you know, oh, you didn't see this, but it's here.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Oh, God, yeah. Well, and there's also been talk that the whole, like, Rise of Skywalker, like, there's some people have speculated and said that Skywalker being a different sect of Jedi now.
Yeah, the Jedi are, well, okay, going back to the second movie.
Yeah.
The last Jedi.
Yeah.
That's the end of the Jedis. But the Rise of Skywalker, Rey could be the first Skywalker. No, meaning used as a descriptive term, not as a family name.
No, exactly.
If you're a Skywalker, you adhere to this vision that Luke had, still being a Jedi-like figure, but you're giving away a lot of... Let's get rid of all this nonsense.
Yeah, the no attachments, the no whatever, the Jedi code that was there in place beforehand.
Evolve to the next level. Because the world always needs people that are willing to step up and be a hero. And shutting yourself off from everything like Luke did might not have been the best thing to do.
No, and it wasn't. But I, like I said, to me, that was kind of like, it kind of made sense to the character. Did I like that they did like that? No, because I wanted Luke to be the savior, to come back and save the day.
But like, he was.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he was. He was still. The question I wanted, because we brought it up and it's an idea that I had, and I'm going to pose this to you because we're kind of getting close to the hour mark now. Yeah. I had brought up the other day on how I want and how I feel that the movie should end to wrap up the Skywalker saga. What is your thoughts on that? Have you even thought about that any at all? Or
I really can't.
Yeah,
I'm kind of shutting myself off from. I think about it because I hear about it, but I'm trying to just like not think too much. I want to hear your thoughts.
Yeah,
on it.
It's got to come full circle for me. I feel like it needs to come full circle. So, and like, dude, if they do it, like, you're going to see me as a bawling mess. I might be a bawling mess in the movie theater at the end of the movie anyways, just because it's over with.
You will be.
But if they do it, then I get kind of emotional even just thinking about it. But if they end it, if there's a way that they can end it with Luke standing on the sand dune with looking out at the twin sun setting instead of right.
But what if it's not Luke? It's another.
If it's Leia and maybe like a Force. I'm sorry, not Leia, but if it's like, or it could even be Leia.
Oh my God! You just gave me chills. Force Ghost Luke. Looking into the that would be
on the Tatooine there at the old Lars homestead. With on the sand dune, foot propped up, looking off into the distance. Oh damn it! It's killing me already.
that would be amazing.
Yeah, to me that's how it should end. To me, that's how it should end. You want to see a 43-year-old man bawl his freaking eyes out?
Yeah.
That's how you end it, because even just talking about it, I'm just like sitting over here getting kind of choked up, because that, to me, that's one of the pivotal sequences for me.
Yeah.
Whenever I was a kid, I just thought it was cool, and having seen Luke Skywalker with his foot propped up, you know, the ultimate hero to me at that point in time, with his foot propped up looking out at the sun's setting for the day, and not realizing the symbolism and stuff like that to the actual shot.
He looked heroic to you.
He looked heroic in the moment.
In the moment, but then you realize, well, he wasn't a hero. I mean,
he wasn't a hero yet. It was a moment of decision, basically, at that point.
Looking out into the horizon, wishing he was somewhere else other than there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So. And then if you were able to somehow bring that full circle,
that would be amazing.
That's why like I'm hoping that they're able to do something about like, Luke wasn't really dead. What he was on whatever that island was. I can't think of the name of it. Was just another force projection. And all of a sudden, boom, here's Luke. He's coming back to save the day. And
wouldn't that be interesting?
Yeah. Yeah,
who knows?
Because they went to Jordan to shoot some. It doesn't mean that they couldn't have filmed some stuff for Tatooine and kept it totally, completely, totally in the silent, kept it in the dark with them going to Tunisia to record a few things.
True. I mean,
Yeah. Or they even could have shot it in Jordan, you know, just find some areas that look similar to, like, I'm not saying, look, I know that, you know, it's different countries and different parts of the world and stuff like that, but they're still very, the same type of climate. It's very sandy, very desertish stuff like that.
They like, film stuff in Canada and pass it off as Texas.
Oh, God, yeah.
And it's easy to do because you need just the right kind of soil and climate.
Yeah.
You know, or landscape and trees.
Yeah, Monument Valley, and they try to claim it as Victoria, Texas, down around the coast or whatever, you know. Yeah. Hey, it's Texas. Yeah, it works. Yeah. No, but yeah, I thought about that the other day, and I was like, the bad thing is I was at work, and I was like, I got to stop that because I'm going to make myself cry here at work thinking about that because, like, to me, it's got to come full circle. If you're going to put
Dave's thinking about Star Wars. Yeah. He's over there crying into his soldering iron.
Like, they're like either freaking Ragnar died again or.
Oh, God, Ragnar.
Yeah, either Ragnar died again or Dave is thinking about how Star Wars it in, that big pansy over there.
But that's what's good about these things being. That's why we can sit here and talk.
Yeah.
Almost every week. About things that we love because it brings us so much joy.
Oh, God, yeah.
And there's so many possibilities, and it gets your own creative. That's where the ownership for a fan comes from, is that you start investing yourself into, well, how can this storyline play? Or how does this make sense? How can I make this make sense for myself?
Yeah.
When it doesn't. And it's like you get invested. I mean, you hear people already thinking about, well, what's next for the next book in the Red Rising series.
Oh, yeah.
And we kind of had a little bit of a debate the other day about Sevro, and somebody sold me on the idea that when you see Sevro next time,
you're
going to be very sad because he is going to be... But I'm hoping... See, this is where we don't disagree, you, Stephen, and I.
Yeah.
As I'm hoping that... And this is... Sorry, people.
Yeah.
Spoiler. most people haven't got to this far, so it's okay. But I'm hoping for resolution. I don't. If Pierce Brown and Pierce Brown, you can somebody pass this on to him. If you kill Sevro,
yeah,
I'm not saying. Well, I'm not making a threat over. just don't
do it, dude.
Kill Mustang,
right?
Kill Darrow. Yeah. Don't kill Sevro.
No, don't kill Sevro. To me, if anybody deserves a happy ending out of those theories, is Sevro.
Yeah.
You know?
Goblin, man.
Goblin. Well, and it's also like, because I think you were saying that Sevro was actually based off of, the character Sevro was actually based off of like one of his best friends or whatever. So it kind of makes me wonder if he would even think about killing. Well Sevro, he didn't have him in the hat of Doom there at one point in time.
Well, Sevro's the guy that's based on a friend that when he were like little kids in elementary school and something's happening on the playground, here comes his little friend who jumps up and starts biting somebody on the ear or neck or something. Yeah, that's Sevro. Sevro's the guy that if he loves you and trusts you, he's the crazy guy that will climb on the ceiling and drop down and do all kinds of wicked ninja stuff that you didn't know he could do.
Oh yeah.
He's a surprise.
Yeah. Yeah. So man, it scares me, and that's like this, if there's anything in the next book that I hope I get to see, get to hear, get to read, is him and Vitra going on a freaking bloodbath to pay back the evildoers, man.
Yeah, because anybody that hasn't got that far in Iron Gold is just a beating.
It is, dude. Like, I want to listen to it again, but I'm like, I gotta wait till I'm more emotionally stable to listen to that book again, because it's rough. It's rough. It is rough. It is like
just
a
warning.
I called it the perfect middle act of a three,
because it's like
three acts, because it leaves you bleak with a glimmer of hope.
You need something to have. There has to be a resolution.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if I could take another two or three books just like this.
No,
I can't. I don't think he would do that. I think he understands the story arc that he's doing center book.
And that last book's going to be a beast.
Yeah.
It's going to be a beast. Unless there's not a happy ending.
Yeah.
Because everything is in shambles right now. You know, so unless there's not a happy ending, it's going to take a lot of work to get back, because... It's very, like I said, it's very Empire Strikes Back. It's very Empire Strikes Back with everything on the run and everything's falling apart, and there's no real place to kind of like get together and have as a home base.
Gold has, I mean, no, I'm not trying to keep, I'm just going to say one more thing. Yeah. Gold has to go.
Yeah.
That's it. They're too powerful.
Oh, yeah.
And there are so few of them compared to the millions.
Yeah,
and people that are under them that they use.
Yeah, and by that rationale, though, so does Obsidian, because Obsidians are super overpowered as well.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, they really are.
Yeah. And as we can see, they're not stupid.
No, they're not.
Yeah.
They were made to feel stupid and to believe in
and be scared of technology.
Myths. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
since they pulled him out.
See, that whole mythology that he's created, of the way that whole world. Yeah, see, I don't.
Oh, yeah.
Let's just stop. We save this for another
hour. Yeah, because we know we're going to be going for another hour. I can already feel it.
We need to get Steven in here someday, and we need to have another.
Yeah, because we need to debrief him on his thoughts on Iron Gold.
Yeah, because there's still things that I'm still, like, will think of about the books, and I'm like.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. That's why, I'm doing my palate cleanser. I pick back up on the Dresden Files. I'm going back through the Dresden Files and finishing those off. Yeah. And then once I do that, I'll start back over at Red Rising and go all the way through instead of skipping through most of Iron Gold to get into.
I'm finishing Seven Eves by Neal Stephenson. And then I think I'm going back to my Viking. I'm gonna find a really good book.
Oh, okay.
Anybody out there that has a recommendation for, like, the best top-notch book on the history of the Vikings?
Yeah,
I want it. Yeah, that's what I want to get back into that.
And there's some story that actually I kind of want to look into. Is I think it's the Battle of Sanford Bridge.
I read a little bit after you shared a little. Can you at least tell what the meme?
The meme was everybody makes a big deal. It's something about, I've got it saved on my phone. Let me just grab it real fast and I'll read it verbatim instead of trying to say it from my memory, because even Amonimarth actually has a song about it, and it's on their new album called The Battle of Sanford Bridge. But the meme is everybody, wow, the Spartans held an entire army with only 300 men. That they were. Oh God, I'm just gonna restart. Everybody, colon. Wow, the Spartans held an entire army with only 300 men. They were so badass. Meanwhile, one Viking on a bridge with an axe.
Yeah, withheld.
Held
off a big old. I read about that.
Yeah.
After that, and that is an interesting story, and that is funny. It's a whole conversation in itself. That was the end of the Viking Age.
Yeah, yeah.
It's kind of poignant that one of the last stories is one Viking on a bridge holding off to try to save everybody.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, one berserker. Yeah, it's also the same time that mine and Stephen's great however many grandfathers was there, too. So, mm-hmm. Could have been him. With William the Conqueror. So.
Oh, you were... The guys he was fighting again.
Right. Well, he's Normans, so yeah. So, anyways, all right, guys, that's gonna wrap it up for this week. If you want to get a hold of us, you can email us at the2btshow@gmail.com. That's the2btshow@gmail.com. Guess what? Twitter's the same thing. It's 2btshow. That's @the2btshow. Yeah. While you're at it, go by www.nerdylegion.com/audible. Sign up for your 1 month free. Get your one free book, and yeah, you're just going to freaking love it. Just going to love Audible, because Audible's like just a sexy mistress that you just can't say no to.
Yeah.
Yeah, because she just comes by and tantalizes you once a month with your free credit and says, "What book do you want to listen to?"
Oh, my God.
The thing is, if you don't like the subscription, which you're going to love the subscription, so you're going to keep it around. But if you don't like it, you can cancel it, but you get to keep the book.
Yep.
So you can always have that book there to listen to whenever you want to. What else is there? Oh, yeah, go buy a Raiders Rider review.
Yeah, yeah.
Just, remember, please be kind.
We like 5 stars.
Oh, yeah.
Go check out, if you like, that crazy German-British guy last week that took over 2BT.
Yeah, he has, I listened to that, and he had, it was throwing me off with his accent, because he has, the very German but very British accent at the same time.
He's British, he's lived in Germany quite a while. I understand, interacting with
him. It's a very neat accent.
His next episode is out for Bibliophile Labyrinth Adventures.
Okay.
Episode 4, if you like Tolkien, do you like... Finnish myths, do you like ale, do you like beer, do you like role-playing games, do you like Dungeons and Dragons, do you just like good storytelling, and do you like just a really interesting person tying all these things together, go listen to Michael, aka Sauce the Rope.
Okay.
It came out today, the day we're recording this 4th episode of Bibliophile Labyrinth Adventures. Really, this is like my favorite episode. And this why I wanted a community of people submitting things.
Yeah.
Because I love hearing other people, and I really don't find myself that interesting to sit there and talk and bore
and it's
people.
Less work for you.
Well, it gives me opportunity to pay more attention to actual the quality and adding some things and doing some stuff. This is really good. He's got a lot of good, cool stuff planned about he's the kind of person, he's my go-to person now when it comes to fantasy and adventure stories.
Yeah.
Especially like his knowledge on Tolkien is great. I just told him, said, you make any episode about anything you want, I'll listen to it.
Yeah.
He says, I just ramble. I said, what do you think we in,
what do you think we do all every blessed Sunday?
His rambling made sense.
Yeah. Right? Like, his rambling made ours sense. Is all over the place.
So kudos to Michael. Thank you very much for helping and participating in that little side project.
Oh, yeah.
And the 2BT.
Yeah, family. Go by and subscribe to Bibliophile Labyrinthine Adventures. Just do it. Just because
that's a stupid name.
Just start calling it BLA, dude.
BLA.
BLA. Yeah. Just start calling it BLA. And people, whenever they go, what's BLA? You can be like, well, it's Bibliophile Labyrinthine Adventures.
Somebody's supposed to be recording an episode for me. I won't say who yet.
Oh.
They're going to be doing an episode about some ancient religious texts that written like, I think, 600, 700 BC.
Oh, wow.
Called the Upanishads. Might be really interesting.
Oh, really?
Exactly what the kind of diversity I'm looking for.
Yeah,
I don't
kidding.
Want everything to be about Lord of the Rings or about historical. I just want people to provide things that they're interesting in because I want to learn.
Yeah.
And one of the best things to learn is from people sharing things they're passionate about.
I think I know who it is. I'll ask you whenever we get it done with here. So.
Yeah.
But anyways, I think that's going to wrap it up because my butt hurts. I'm not going to lie. I've been sitting here for a while in this uncomfortable chair. One of these days, one of these days, we're going to have nice chairs and a bigger table that I can pile more. we'll have a bigger table that I can pile more crap on in front of us.
It can't be too comfortable because I will fall asleep.
Ah, that's right. I'll wake you up. I'll get like a cattle prod. I'll get a hot shot. And just if you start to fall asleep, I'll just shock you from across the table.
Oh.
How many times have you been shocked with one of those?
Several times.
Oh, yeah.
crossing electric fences and shutting electric fence gates. And those things are serious.
Oh, yeah. Trust me, I've been zapped by them myself. Not as many times as you have, but I've gotten to feel it. Yeah, because, you know, you're shutting an electrical fence and your hand just kind of screws up. Yeah.
Just like everything, just no. I just put myself back there. That's a bad feeling, man. If you get hung up in it, and if you're trying to cross it, and you get off of
especially if it pops up and gets you in the buddies.
Woo!
Oh, yeah.
No, that never happened. Thank God.
Yeah, I was about to say, thank goodness. Just brushes a leg, gets your leg, and gets your hand or something like that. Oh, yep. Anyways, so we're gonna call it a day. We're gonna call it a week.
Thank you, Dave, for having me over.
Oh, yeah, dude. Anytime, Michael. Mikasa, Sukasa. Just come on over. We got to build the clubhouse still. So.
We do.
Yep. Anyways, with that being said, I'm David.
I'm Michael.
2BT signing off.
Adios.
Falcon Diaz.
Yeah.
That wasn't terrible.
That was pathetic. Boo.
Nerdy Legion.
Nerdylegion.com.